In happier times, when the ABC was more generously funded, it was the program's habit to go overseas every other year and chase a big news story. Case in point, the coming down of the wall in Berlin, off to China, off to India, to New Orleans, Solomon Islands. But for me, the most memorable, the most harrowing, the most unforgettable of our international trips was in 2007, when we went to Timor-Leste. And there I met a woman who I used to describe, I think quite justly, as the Queen of East Timor. Let me tell you a little bit about her as we approach the 20th anniversary of the vote for independence in East Timor, which of course unleashed terrible violence. The Queen of East Timor, Maria Teseo Lopes de Silva, was our translator, and she took us everywhere, introducing us to the VIPs and villagers in what was a traumatic time for her country, and it turned out to be a traumatic time for the broadcast. So, first of all, Siu, it's lovely to talk to you again after quite a long time. How's the book going?
I finished, Philip. And good night. Pleased to meet you again through the telephone. I finished my book, Philip.
I'm astonished. That means I can get you back in a couple of weeks and we can talk about that. Still working for Timor Aid?
Yes, I'm the co-founder and a board member, so I'm always there.
Tell me how Dili is looking these days, because back in 2007, it was still pretty much in ruins.
Yes. I think if you come back, you would not recognize Dili. Probably not in a nice way. It's too crowded. The traffic is chaotic. But on the other hand, we are free, and that is very important. And the 20th anniversary in 2 days' time will prove that the struggle for the independence of Timor was worthwhile.
So you're not a failed state, as many would argue?
I don't think so. We have a lot of problems, I acknowledge that. But any post-conflict country, if you remember South Africa and other places like that, I mean, they are bigger and they have better human resources and better natural resources. They are rich, they are huge, and still they have problems until today. I'm not saying that East Timor is all a bed of roses, which is not. But hey, that's life. We are used to problems. We can sustain it. We can persevere. And that's the character of the Timorese people.
I should point out to the listeners that when Indonesia discovered that East Timor was going to vote overwhelmingly for independence, they exacted terrible vengeance and violence on the place and just tore it to shreds. There was hardly any infrastructure left. It was a debacle. It was just awful. So Ramos Horta was on Sunday Extra last weekend talking about progress. Are you still in contact with him?
Oh, yes. He remains a very important dignitary and political person in East Timor. He is the diplomat, the one that makes links when the bridges are broken politically. You probably understand what I mean. And he's very optimistic. He's always upbeat. And now he has a TV show and interviews people every week, and he goes and says, hello, do you have a message for Mr. President? Do you have a message for Prime Minister? It's really funny, but it's really good. And we are very honored. And as a country, we are very honored to have a citizen of the caliber of Dr. José Ramos Horta.
Next time you see him, give him my best wishes. As you know, he used to come on the program very frequently in the years, in his years in exile. And, we watched the story evolve. He tells us that there's really a big improvement in healthcare and primary education.
Yes, we still have problems with education. The quality, the standards of our education system needs to be improved greatly. I think I'm not an expert on education, but I have two adopted Timorese kids, and they go to university, and I can see the huge difference from my time at high school and the current University of East Timor. I knew much more than they did.
I'm alarmed to hear that 50 or 60,000 people, young people, have left for Australia, Ireland, the UK, including your own children. So there's a drain of talent.
Well, my children, one of them was born in Australia, and the oldest one arrived in Australia when she was six months old. And their memory of Timor every time I brought them here during the occupation was very sad. So they say they are more Australian than Timorese. The Timorese is it's me. The link is me, but I think nothing else. Yeah. But there is a lot of Timorese. We are a nation of young people. 60% of Timorese population, according to the 2015 census, is under 24 years of age.
After the havoc wreaked by the Indonesians, of course, unemployment was completely off the scale. And I can remember seeing countless thousands of young Timorese with absolutely nothing to do. Has that improved?
The employment sector has not. That's why a lot of young people leave East Timor. They are in UK, they are in Ireland, they are in Australia. The employment opportunities are given by the Australian government, the Korean government, for young people to go and work overseas, seasonal workers. We have thousands in Australia, picking up fruit in Darwin. They are in Tasmania, they are in Melbourne, and they make a lot of money, and they come back, they improve their housing conditions, but then they have no job, so they have to wait until the next round to go back.
I remember you taking us around an East Timor, where the whole country was suffering really from a form of PTSD. Does the trauma linger on?
I think so. Underneath, it's kind of an undercurrent situation. Nobody talks about it anymore, but we are prone to violence. The young people who are here in Timor without an education, unemployed, they're still creating problems. They fight among themselves. They are upset. They are frustrated. So this continues in smaller.
So you're breaking up a bit. Let me ask you another question. I mentioned Ramos Horta, of course, earlier, and it was he, I think, who recruited you for the resistance. Now, your role has been recognised. You were awarded the Order of Timor-Leste. But is the role of women in the resistance sufficiently honoured?
I don't think so. And it's not because of me. At least I was in Australia. I was in a safe haven. I could work for Timor without fear of reprisals, without fear of intimidation. The women here who have gone through hell, raped, abused, tortured, some of them were members of the Falun Teal, you know, they had weapons and they fought. In that category, only a minor number, but still, I see them and I feel like crying because I would not been able to have done what they did. So to claim that I'm a hero, I think it's a bit over the top. I could fight from where I was. It was easy for me. but not for them.
Let's talk
and
about...
The real heroes in East Timor are women, honestly, Philip. I'm not saying that because of I am a woman, but it's true. I had a discussion with Horta the other day, and he said, well, you know... you don't care, you don't come and do for us. I said, oh, just hand over the power to us and you sit back and relax and see what happens. He laughed.
Well, let's talk about the role of women in politics. Are there many in the East Timorese parliament? I understand there are quotas for each party.
Philip, statistics are not the reality. Yes, we have a law that guarantees 30% of women in the parliament. And it should have been in every area of the government. But in the government, the number of women as ministers or members of the government, executive members, is very few. In parliament, because of the law, we have 30%. And sometimes when the man goes to... they go to become members of government. So other women who are on the list, they pop up. So sometimes we have a little bit over 40% or 50%. But that doesn't mean that we have a voice, because these women belong to a political party, either CNRG, Fretling, or any other party. And the party, the president of the party, the secretary general of the party are men, and they rule, and they tell the women what to do. And if the women don't do, they will be kicked out from the parliament. So, you know, 2 + 2 = 4.
The voice of Maria do Ceu Lopes da Silva, a.k.a. the Queen of East Timor, is my guest. And, of course, you did run for parliament yourself back in 2012.
No, I did run for the presidency. It was an experience. I never expected to win, but it was a great experience. I just wanted to test the system.
Any chance of trying again, if not for the presidency? So you were at least for parliament?
I don't think so. I am happy writing, and I think that is going to be the rest of my life, because I really enjoy it, and I want to be independent. I don't want to be a member of the government or parliament. I think under the current situation, and while the men are in charge of the political parties, it'd be a waste of my time running for any particular high position in East Timor.
Well, if I was a bloke in East Timor, I'd be terrified of the thought of having you in parliament. I know you too well. We should point out to the listeners, Ceu, that there's a very high voter turnout, isn't there, whenever there's an election?
Yes. We are highly political in East Timor. Every word, every action is judged in political terms. And I like the participation because that means democracy is working. We fought for freedom. We fought for democracy. We are not perfect. But Jesus, I believe the leaders, the current leaders, probably are saying, we gave too much democracy, you know, because we really insult our members, our prime minister, our president in the Facebook, and it's really bad, you know, it's really bad.
our Prime Minister will be in Dili for the anniversary. What do East Timorese think of us now that the story about how we bugged the government during negotiations is such big news here?
Okay. The bugging, the espionage, it's news for us, but it's not what is important for the Timorese people. Of course, we are sad, we are shocked, but Timorese people are busy trying to rebuild their lives. And this, what I meant was the strong relationship is between the Timorese people and the Australian people. We have very little to do with both governments. And the relationship between the two people are very, very strong. The Australian people stood up for us in the most critical.
We're losing you again, Ceu, I'm afraid, but we appreciate that, and of course many of us in this country feel very strongly about your country. Great to talk to you again, however bad the connection. Maria de Seu Lopes de Silva, an old friend of mine and the program, and as we heard, a soon-to-be-published author. So we'll catch up with her when her book comes out.